Welcome to Truth with Tara. I'm Tara Simon, and today I have Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Brandon Lake on the show. Brandon, thank you so much for joining.
I am honored to be on. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And I know that you're squeezing in time because you're on tour right now.
I am on tour. I just woke up in Des Moines, Iowa, and which one of my best friends is from here. So I've never been here before, but I've always been curious what it's like.
And
so far, it's really beautiful.
Yeah. Cornfields galore.
Cornfields galore. Yes. on tour right now. Just got off tour, actually. Me and Phil Wickham did a headlining tour, arena tour across the country, and then got to go home for 2 weeks. And then it has always been a dream to collab with the one and only Lauren Daigle, Grammy Award-winning as
yes.
well. And so, yeah, we're doing 6 shows opening up for Lauren. Had our first night last night. Tonight's the second
wow.
show.
And okay.
yeah, it's already awesome.
That's, I can't imagine what it's like to headline for someone you probably listened to, you know, before you were doing tours. And then also for that kind of a musical sonic collab, I think that's sort of a yeah. dream team, actually, knowing her and your voice.
Yeah, it is. I've kind of jokingly said, but serious, if Lauren ever calls me to do anything, I have made it. I mean, she's the biggest thing in our industry
right.
and beyond our industry,
yeah.
in our genre. She's crossed over in a lot of ways. And so that's really inspiring to me because
yeah.
I'm not called to just sing to people who profess to believe in Jesus. I want to reach people who are far from God, who need hope. And a lot of those people aren't going to run to a Christian concert or run to the church. And so we've got to be bold enough to expand our borders and create music that can go outside of just our genre, you know? And so I'm proud of her for doing that and very honored to collab with her.
I am a little shocked, actually, that you just went there, because it was one of the things I was thinking about asking about, but might not have had the guts to bring up. But since you started it, I'm going to finish it. I have a hard question, and it's something that, as a singer who writes and as someone who's spent a lifetime performing too, I've always thought, how great would it be to just, you know, it makes so much sense as a Christian who can sing to be a worship leader, right? And you are an amazing
right.
one for so many reasons, and we'll get into that.
But
also what you said about, like, there's a calling to sometimes minister to people in the church, but there's also a calling to minister to the world and not just that bubble. And
yeah.
like you said about Lauren, there is this crossover effect that I believe is necessary to be effective to those who literally see an X on your back. If you say the word Christian, they're like, I'm not going to listen.
Right.
Da, da, da. So what made you and what makes you sing Christian music now versus, because you have the marketability, you have the voice and the style and the writing chops to be quote unquote mainstream. So what makes you do this? And do you ever struggle with that?
Yeah. Well, I'll say I struggle. It's really hard for me when people immediately or won't give Christian music a chance. It's almost always based off of their experience with people,
yeah.
not with Jesus.
For sure.
And the church sucks not because of God. It sucks because of people.
For
people
sure.
People suck.
Yes.
Jesus doesn't suck. And so
right.
I feel like called to both. I feel called to not compromise the truth of what I'm singing,
yeah.
the gospel, but I also feel called to package it in a way, and not every song needs to be what is labeled a worship song. Not every song needs to sound like a typical, what has been sonically this worship sound. So I'm trying to do both. I would say why I'm committed to, I lead worship with my life, not
yes.
just on Sundays.
That's
and,
right.
But I feel called to lead worship on Sundays because that was a very early on in my life, around 15, that seemed to be when I realized this calling. I've grown up in the church. My dad's a pastor, and I have seen the church reach so many people. And while mm-hmm. a lot of people won't give it a chance, it is still the hope of the world, the church, and not just church on Sunday, but people, faith-filled people.
Yeah.
who believe in Jesus, like that is the hope of the world. That's what Jesus said. And that is his plan A, is we are his hands and feet. We are this his mouthpiece. And I still believe in the idea of church community. I think church needs to happen Monday through Sunday,
That's
not
right.
just on Sunday, but Sunday's where I go and I feel responsibility to go, all right, guys, let's go. Keep going. You know,
Yeah.
like I want to encourage people. And I feel like God's given me this ability to have this radical faith, this faith on fire, and given me a platform and influence to be able to encourage and empower other people to keep doing what God's called them to do. And so I love leading on Sunday and encouraging the saints while also knowing that somebody's giving church their first, you know, its first shot, and realizing that every Sunday is an opportunity for somebody to come to know Jesus for the first time or to come back. And we, even this last tour, I was just on with me and Phil. You would kind of assume that 99.9% of people in the room were already believers, but I felt called to invite people into this relationship with the Lord, and remembering that, you know, friends were probably dragging their friends, telling them it's a concert, you know, and then surprise, you kind of came to church. It's just, you know, extended time of songs and lights and all that, and it's really fun. And in a lot of ways, it is a concert. But man, it was crazy to see how many people responded to this invitation. Because I put it simply, like, forget religion. The truth is, the one that made you is the one that is the one that more than anything wants a relationship with you. And you can't have a better life outside of the life he has for you. His
That's
plans are
right.
way better than what you could do on your own. And I think people responded to that message. So
Absolutely. I mean, how could you not? It's like, what's good or what's better? There's only
right.
win, you know. There's only upside. I really love that that's your heart. And I know that you mentioned you grew up as a PK, pastor's kid. And sometimes, I mean, I have a couple pastor kid friends, and you know, because of growing up in the church, some of them have a hard time kind of like remembering when it was that they really kind of got God, because they've always had him by default, right? Like by association and just, you know, by being surrounded and saturated by it everywhere they went. But when was the moment for you when your faith really became your own and not what you were raised with?
Wow, I love the way you put that, because that's exactly how I describe the moment my faith became my own and not the faith of my parents was when my dad. Oh man, you're gonna get me crying this morning.
Don't do it, because I'm gonna cry too. I'm very emotional right
And then
now.
I gotta sing, my sinuses are gonna be a mess.
Don't do it. I'm a vocal coach.
No.
I can't be responsible for
Yeah,
that.
right. I know. Which, by the way, we gotta link up because I would love some help.
Done.
I
Done.
keep
It's
writing
on
songs that
camera.
I have to scream my head off to sing, and so I'm trying to find ways to like sing them and protect my voice all while still singing them with so much guts.
I had
Anyways,
questions for you about that, by the way, but we'll get there. Keep going. Keep
all right,
going.
we'll
When did
get
your
there.
faith become your own?
So my faith became my own the moment I was about, you know, 14 or 15, and I had done the thing, like, I want to ask Jesus into my heart. I want to live for you. I was a believer at this point, but the moment that I wasn't borrowing my parents' faith anymore and became my own is when my dad, we were living in Myrtle Beach, shout out to Dirty Myrtle, and I grew up in a church plant, and my dad felt the call of God to move to Charleston and to start pastoring the pastors on staff at this large church and get into leadership development. And he's a leadership development guru, brilliant guy, Mac Lake, genius leader. And he brought me to we went to, took on a, tri a trip to Charleston, and he took me to the IOP, Isle of Palms Pier, and he said, I feel like God's calling us to move to Charleston. And I realize that you're going to have to give up all of your friends. And it's going to be a really, really big change for you, you know, being towards the end of middle school, going into high school. And he said, but he said, I would like your permission. And
Your dad said
for
that
a,
to you.
yeah, my dad asked for my permission. And blessing on moving our family. And he didn't need to do that.
No.
You know, I'm not out of the house yet, and
Right.
he could do whatever he wants. And the fact that, and I just remember, but he's like, I want you to make this decision with me, and I want you to trust God. And here's what I believe: what you will lose in this season, God will bring tenfold in this next season. And that's what I'm praying for you. And so I remember in that moment dialoguing with God, and I just felt this crazy peace in my heart. And I was, even at 15, 14, 15 years old, I was like, I feel this tug, right? Because it's not, God doesn't always split the skies and it's like, yes,
No.
this is what I want
Thus
for you. But
says the
a lot of
Lord, yeah.
times I say, trust the nudge. And there's this like gut nudge. And I've seen God move in the nudges more than the, you know, it's, you know, flashing lights right in front of your eyes, kind of God speaking to you. And
Yeah.
so I remember in that moment, I had the decision to like, am I going to trust God for myself and not just trust my parents? And that's the moment where I really felt like that was the first big decision I felt like I really had to trust God in. And I've probably got, you know, 30 to a few hundred, I don't know, moments in my life where, I could say the same thing. It's like re-upping my faith and an opportunity to my faith to become my own, a deeper faith. And there's been several moments throughout my life where if I didn't trust God, even though it didn't make sense or it was really difficult, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Wow. Well, we both made it through without tears falling down our cheeks. High five. There's a little one on the
Let's
side
go.
of mine, but it didn't go down. So that's really beautiful, Brandon. And thank you for telling that. And my favorite part about everything that you said is when you said trust the nudge. I think that for push through people, like I'm a push through person. I am a get it done, high performing girl. And nudges sometimes have to be like punches in the shoulder for me to listen. But as I mature in my walk and in my life in different situations, when I look back, I can see when I didn't listen to the nudge and what it did versus when I took the time to be still and listen. And it's a little scary though, because when it's a nudge, it's like it could or it couldn't be. It's a maybe, but if you trust it, you know what should have been. It was a yes, or it was him speaking, but like it's not a big booming, thus says the Lord. And it's sometimes difficult to discern and to hear. And I, although when, as I'm saying that, I'm also saying that what you're saying is correct and it's so true. And it's easier to do than to say it. Or no, it's easier to say it than to do it.
Say it then do it. Yeah.
But it's a really beautiful way to live, to trust the nudge. And also in songwriting too, to trust that nudge. I have a little confession. I don't know if you're like this, but I, even though I'm like full-fledged in music, that's all I do all day long. I have like a playlist. It's like a sacred playlist. It's called my anthem playlist, and I
Let's
may listen
go.
to it 1 to 3 times a day, like every day. And it's
Wow.
just like what I press. Do you do that, or do you listen to all sorts of things?
No, I'm kind of well, I will research a bit and I'll have moods where I get into researching and I'm trying to find, like, I've been studying EDM dance house music for the past few years because I think there's things they utilize that we
Yeah.
don't in worship music or
Yeah.
faith-based music or rock and roll or, you know, whatever. And so I love to explore and learn what are these things, little tips and tricks that make you kind of come alive, and you don't even know it, but I'm like, okay, there's something there. There's something to that, like the three kicks at the top of chorus, the boom, 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 you know, things like
Yeah,
that.
yeah, yeah.
So, but I kind of get obsessed about like a few songs, and I'm
Yeah.
actually like so uneducated on artists out there and what's hot. And so a lot of times it's like my friends tell me, bro, you got to check out this track. But if you looked at my liked songs on Spotify or Apple, it is all over the place. I mean, it is Colton Waller or Colton Wall, I think his name is, something like that, like super folky, Noah Gunderson folky. It's EDM music,
Yeah.
it's Skrillex, it's you know,
Okay.
it's gospel. I mean, Miranda Curtis, it's like Tasha Cobbs, it's all
Yes.
over the place, rock and roll, you
Wow.
know. So But I find like one or a few songs, and it's like I seem to like obsess over it for a little while, for like a few months.
And then you do have to give that palate cleanser, but there is this playlist for me, and I didn't realize it actually until I was knew I was going to do this podcast with you. But a little more than a third of them are songs that you've either been a part of or have done. And I thought, well, that's kind of funny because, I knew your voice before I knew your name, to be honest.
Wow, I love that.
When you first came into my ears, it was Graves into Gardens. And
Yeah.
the first thing that I thought of as a vocalist and as a vocal coach and as someone who loves to create music also, is I thought to myself, this
Ouch.
dude, no, it's good.
This sounds so harsh in his voice. No, go ahead.
No. What I thought was, this guy sings like he's war worshiping. It comes from a place of such deep confidence and not just who you are, not who you are, but who God is in you. And I could hear the confidence in that. I could hear there's this intensity to the way that you sing that's not a, hey, join me. It's like, hey, pick up a banner and let's walk toward the front lines of this thing.
Let's go.
And let's go. It was that. And I'm like, great. Yes, all of the words. And at the time, of course, it speaks to people on so many levels. And of course, during that time, in my life, I was like literally in a Graves into Gardens, Beauty for Ashes moment. And I'm like, the way that people can write all sorts of great lyrics, I mean, crafted perfectly, but the way that it's sung also brings new meaning and a gravity to the lyrical content. And the way that you sang Graves into Gardens for me grabbed me. And I was like, I never do this. I just sing the song and like it and take it for what it is. But I actually looked up your name and I was like, I need to know this guy's name. And from then on, I mean, I just watched you followed what you were doing over the few years after. And I'm happy to say that I feel like you've been well rewarded for your efforts. Like, you've won multiple Grammys, multiple Dove Awards. You've won Billboard Music Award. And a lot of times great artists get passed over for many reasons, politics being one of them, right? But I feel like God has put you in a place where you're using and stewarding your voice and your platform in such a way that his word and his breath that's on you is not returning void and nor could it. And you're being rewarded well for what you're doing. Would you feel that that's accurate?
Yeah, rewarded way more than deserving. And God has been so incredibly kind and generous. 'Cause I'm really just doing the same thing I was doing when I was 15 years old, and just trying to figure out how to write a song that conveys the gospel, but also like where I fit in that and how I feel, and just putting some songs together and leading people and trying to fire them up and tell them about what God's done in my life. I'm not doing anything different. And so it's so wild. People ask me like, what did you do to get here? I'm like, the same thing I've been doing since I've been 15 years old, just leading worship. And I'm still the next song. I try to write a little bit every single day, and
Do you? Okay.
every single time I go to write, I'm like, do I have anything? Like, is there ever going to be another song? So I still have insecurities. I still wrestle with, is that next song ever going to come? And so it makes it so mind-blowing that God would allow me to continue to do this. But also the way he has breathed on and shined a light on songs that, Gratitude, for instance, is probably my most influential song, you could say now. And that song almost didn't make my record. I didn't know how special it was going to be, or it was. I re-recorded it probably 4 or 5 times because I didn't like it. And I was like, this sounds like everything else out there. I was like, I believe these words, but I don't believe the way it's coming across. Like, sonically, I'm like, I don't believe this yet. So we actually took everything away. I was like, stick me in front of a mic with an acoustic guitar. I'm gonna sing it as raw and passionately as I can. And then we got this song that I was like, okay, I love this. But it wasn't a single, wasn't a featured track, wasn't a highlighted track. And God just breathed on this, imperfect offering, and then used it to impact millions and millions of lives. And I feel like that's everything I have to offer him. It's like filthy rags, right? But it's about the heart posture, and I think God continues to bless a heart posture that is pure and humble. And that's the place where I want to stay, because that's where the blessing is.
Oh my gosh, Brandon, gratitude is one of those songs on my playlist. And I can't believe it didn't almost make it onto your record because
Right.
that I got sick 2 years ago for no reason. And I woke up one day and I couldn't function. And this lasted for 8 months. I
Wow.
couldn't post. I could hardly raise my kid. I had brain fog, dizziness, headache. There was this terrible constant pain, and I was just rendered like incapable all of a sudden. And I've only ever been super capable.
Here come the tears.
So close.
Wow. Man, I'm so
And
sorry.
I remember just being like basically under house arrest by default, and listening to gratitude and somehow just sitting on my stairs and singing it back. And I posted a video of it actually, and it was like the only thing I could muster up to do that day. And there was this like spirit and this like fullness in the room that for that moment I wasn't in pain and I could think clearly for the first time in months. And I knew then that I was going to be okay. I didn't know how, and I was still sick for months after. But I did know that I was going to overcome it. And I was so grateful. And that sense of just like gratitude for being simply alive and breathing and a child of God. And just even if I couldn't produce something that day, if I couldn't do, I could still be. And I was just grateful to be able to be in that moment. And that song was like on repeat for me during that time. So the thought that it may not have even made it onto the record is like mind-boggling for me because it's part of one of the songs that got me through that time. So thank you for that.
Oh my gosh, thank you for sharing that story. I mean, that's the power of your testimony. Like, my goodness, how many other people could say, the same thing? And that's why we need songs like this. And thank
Yes,
God
for sure.
he doesn't waste a thing. Even going back to our conversation earlier about, like, if you didn't trust the nudge and you made a wrong decision and you didn't move, or you moved to the wrong place, or whatever. That's the beautiful thing about God, is that He takes our poor decisions, or He takes sickness in our body, even though He did not place it there. I don't believe He does that. He
I don't
can't do
either.
that. It's there is no sickness in Him. He is only good. But He will take something that, because we live in this sinful world and that is filled with disease and pain and disappointment, and He takes those things and He uses them, and it builds our character. It builds our faith in Him. And that's what I think is so beautiful, is He doesn't waste anything. And now you can, on the other side of this, share that testimony and move people to tears, because we all have our moments where, like, the only thing I could muster up was this simple chorus, or I could barely raise my hands, but that's all I got out. And I think God rushes in on those moments. And I love that what worship does is it gets our, even for that moment, worship gets our eyes off of the storm and gets our eyes back on Him, and gives us that perspective of, well, at least I have you, and at least I have breath in my lungs in this moment. And so I can say, thank you for that. Man, so
Absolutely.
powerful. So
It
powerful.
really is. It really is. And it's in those times, I believe that for anyone who's watching, it's in those times where you really don't know how you're going to get out of what you're in, that you're met with the end of yourself. And whenever there's an end of ourself, there's right there is the beginning of where Jesus is. Mm. And I found him in such real ways in that time of my life. More, and I've been a follower for a long time, but he showed up for me so big in that time. And I know that it was preparing me for what he had for me now.
Yeah.
And it's weird when you have to like take many steps back to kind of prepare for something that moves you forward. It's kind of strange.
Yeah.
But to lighten up the conversation, I kind of really love doing this truth with Tara, because one of the reasons was I really want to build community. I want to meet new people and collab, because it's really lonely staring at a black hole, which is your camera, all day long creating content. But the other reason was, you ever watch like VH1 behind the scenes and they're like, oh, detailed steps of this is how this person got famous. And then there's this specific spot that they're like, and then one thing led to another and bam, Grammys. And it's like, wait, what was that spot that you're leaving out right there? So one of the whole points of this podcast anyway is to kind of pull back the curtain of like fun and maybe even intense truths that most people don't know about you. So since you're on tour, I thought it might be a fun opportunity to say if anything comes to mind, like, are there any stories or things that have happened thus far in Code of Many Colors tour that you haven't said or you'd like to share today?
So moments that have led me to where I am, I will say like, it's as small as things like a text being thrown on a text thread. That in a lot of ways is how I got to where I am today. Is I had moved back to Charleston and was leading worship at my church. We spent a few years in Virginia, God call us back to Charleston. And again, it was one of those moments of like, God, why would you bring us back somewhere that you brought me out of? And to me, I was like, this seems backwards, but it was actually God moving us forward. And so I was, you know, working as a worship pastor there for a few months. And then someone had heard, who used the same studio as I did to do my very first record. I raised money for it. Here's a fun story. I was broke, you know, married. We had our first son and no, we didn't even have our first son yet. I don't think when I did this, but I was raising money for my first record, like independent, just doing it myself.
Yeah.
So did a GoFundMe, raised 20 grand. I was like, I really need 30 grand. And felt God say like, you know, dream a little bigger, you know? And so, but I got creative and I said, if you give a certain amount of money, I'll tattoo your name on my leg. So
what?
I have 23 last names tattooed on my leg. Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And, yeah, they're, if I stand up, actually, you could probably see, boom, they're right there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so I was willing to do anything short of sin, which some people would say that was a sin, whatever. I disagree. Anyways.
No, I do too.
And now every time I look at it, it's a test, you know, it reminds me of trusting God. And also just sometimes you got to get creative and you got to work hard and hustle. And, So I did my first record. Somebody heard this record and there was a text thread going on with a lot of my heroes in the industry. And he threw me on the thread and said, hey, this guy needs to come to this songwriting gathering. And it was the first one they were dreaming up. And so they threw me on this thread and I'm recognizing some of the names. I'm like, wow, this person wrote this song. And, Tony Brown was on there who helped write Good Good Father. Travis Green was on there and all these different artists. And so I'm like, talk to my wife. I'm like, hey, I really feel like this is an invitation from the Lord to like grow in my songwriting gift. And a few months later we met in Atlanta and we wrote probably 12 of us and stayed in Airbnbs and all that. And just, you know, I'm not making a whole lot, but Brittany's like, no, you need to invest in your gift. You need to invest in your gift, get aggressive about growth. And so we wrote, and then I got invited back, the next month and then the next month. And we just kept doing these songwriting camps and We didn't have a name for this thing. We started recording some of these songs in the most crappy way you've ever heard. Our early records are terrible sounding, but there was the sweetest spirit. And that is what Maverick City became. And
Gosh.
that's, we eventually came up with a name, started recording these songs. And then, I signed with Bethel Music because they were interested in me as a writer. I went and wrote with some of their artists. And when I got home, the day after I got home, they called me and they're like, "We don't want to sign you as a writer, just as a writer. We would like for you to be our next artist." So then I
Wow.
signed with them, did that for 3 years. The first tour I ever went on were like packed out theaters. It was just insane. And I'm shaking in my boots, and so many things I could share that were simultaneously happening. My church has charismatic roots, but I would say we have the seatbelt on a bit tight, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
But
Yes.
healing broke out in our church, if that's one way I could describe it. And hundreds of people were
Wow.
getting healed because we were in a season of real desperation with someone on our staff and in the church family. And so when I went on my first Bethel tour, they didn't just have me sing a song. They handed me the mic and they released me to release. And I didn't even know what I was doing other than what I was like, I'm just going to model what I saw at my church happen, and how this person
Yeah.
led this moment. And so I started praying for people, praying for healing and freedom and deliverance, and like not a weird way. Like I'm not this, well,
Yeah.
you could say I am now. I don't like to categorize myself as something, but I don't have a Pentecostal background, not charismatic. You
Yeah.
know, I grew up Southern Baptist, but I just felt
Yeah.
like there was more and that so
Wow.
much pain was entering into these rooms. And if we didn't go after it, maybe, I don't know, maybe healing wouldn't have, I don't know. I
Right.
believe people get healed just at the name of Jesus, but I think there's something to being
Yes.
obedient and partnering with God and releasing and joining our faith together to believe for somebody's breakthrough. And so went on tour, and then all the while I'm writing all these songs. And so you got Maverick City, you got Bethel, and around the same time I connected with a church down the street, 3 hours, who are our churches are great friends, Elevation. And I went and
Yes.
wrote with Pastor Stephen and Chris Brown and Tiffany. And we wrote 5 songs in 2 days, and one of those was Graves into Gardens. And I would
Wow.
say
Wow.
that's what put me on the map. And a quick fun little
Yeah.
story. I know I'm talking a lot.
No, I love fun little stories. Keep going.
So I'm just there as a writer and trying to serve this well.
Yeah.
And I'm so nervous. We write Graves into Gardens, and Pastor Stephen turns to me and he's like, "Hey, sing the demo." And I was like, are you sure? I mean, like Chris would be the one singing this song, so I think he should do it." He's like, no. He goes, "Just do the demo." So I start singing the song, and something in my voice shifted, not even intentionally. And I remember stopping the song and I was like, "Hey, hold on." I was like, "Sorry, let me sing that again. I don't know why I'm like this Chris Stapleton growl is coming out." And he goes, No, give me all of that." He goes, "Lean into that. I want more of it." I was like, "Okay." You know,
Wow.
and I was like afraid of it sounding too Southern or rock and roll or whatever. And so I sang
Yeah.
the demo, and then it was like a few days later, Pastor Steven was like, "Hey, will you come do this live recording with us? This is your song, man. Like you have to sing it." And
Wow.
so I did.
It really is your song.
And
It really is.
I feel that. And I'm proud to still, you know, have ownership in that song and lead it with such authority, like every night. And so yeah, it's crazy. It's like text thread to just continuing doing the same thing over and over, just writing again and again, because you never know what's going to take off. You never know what God's going to use, what he's going to breathe on, to Bethel, and
That's right.
just serving that and learn everywhere I've gone, in every collaboration I've had, I'm like, there is something for me to learn here. And I think when you have that teachable and hungry spirit, I can at least say in my life, God has blessed that and allowed for more opportunity to come.
Teachable and hungry spirit. That is a winning and very powerful combination for sure. I'm curious, you know, you said that, you know, you were broke, you guys were newly married, as are most people. And your situation financially and where you were when you started that album is the plight of, I would say, 95% of aspiring talent out there. So like, how'd you guys pay your bills? Who was working? What were you doing? Tell us.
Yeah. So, I was just on staff as a worship leader. I have been since I was 18 and, you know, you don't make a whole lot doing that unless you're at a massive church, maybe not even then. And, I'm sure things have changed along the way. You know, and with inflation and all that, hopefully, it's, but you know, I mean, my first salary when I came on staff, you know, again, I was super young, but I think it was like $23,000 and I was married or I was about to get married. And then, you know, wasn't making much more than that, even having kids. And that's probably TMI, but I don't know, maybe that's useful. And
no,
you know,
it's totally useful. You know,
and it's interesting to me that worship leaders don't get paid a whole lot when, and they're, again, if you're a worship leader, that you're actually a pastor and you are discipling people, it's one thing to have a karaoke person. I don't think someone should be getting paid a ton of money if you're just getting up there and singing a song. I think that, but I do think that great leaders, disciplers of people should be taken care of. I'll put it that way. Should be well taken care of. I don't think that, listen, no matter what you get paid, there's always going to be moments you're going to struggle. And, but I do think that it's, as I've had more financial freedom and there has been less stressors. We used to stress every month about making, we had zero debt and yet we were paycheck to paycheck. And so now just the conversations have changed of like, how do we best set up our kids now, you know, and there's less stressor about the mortgage, but then there's other things. So I feel so fortunate to be where I'm at now, but I was just working,
of course,
at the church. And then Brittany, has been a nanny for several different families, in our younger years of marriage. Mm-hmm. Then we started having our own kids and it was a goal that she wouldn't have to work. And she was so willing to, but we just felt a peace about, trusting God, just off of my salary, and he has provided every step of the way. And so she could be home and be super present. And so, I've only ever,
that's so cool,
made money off of, from being a worship leader at a church until some of my songs took off. And, and now I can say I'm, I guess if you define a professional songwriter based off, I can make a living off of songs. That's always been my dream, not so much financially, but that I would have songs that would travel the nations, and it's been prophesied over me. And so I wanted to see that come true. And so that's why I've worked so hard to get there.
I just love that, Brandon. And thank you so much for being so transparent and honest about that. A lot of people wouldn't, but I think it really gives people who are in your more hungry year stage of life a good perspective and context of like, hey, this is how it's done. And I'm not alone. And 23K is not a lot to live off of, but you know what? Like, we're out here and we're doing it. I want to shift to your voice because you mentioned, you know, like the Graves into Gardens, that rock, that rasp, that involuntary Chris Stapleton sound that I first was introduced to you by. I mean, that's how I heard your voice first. So that's, you know, it's interesting that you said it was involuntary. Tell me about like, if you've ever done vocal training and how your voice is now, how do you get through shows vocal stamina wise? Tell me about your vocal history.
I live in Charleston where the allergies are off the charts, horrible.
Yeah.
And so I'm constantly battling vocal health. I've taken a few lessons and, met with a few vocal coaches, finally learning how to like properly warm up, and cool down. And so, you know, I try my best to be disciplined about that. It's definitely been a journey. As you know, first tour I'm singing two songs, you know, second tour I'm singing four, you know, and now stepping into having my own tours where I'm singing over 2 hours pretty much with very little breaks. Now I try to structure things for sustainability and having other leaders out with me and having breaks. A lot of times I'm out and I'm not doing the recording key of a song. I'll drop it down a half step, a whole step.
Sure.
Especially because, like, people, the more I do this, the more I'm realizing, like, when people see you in person, they're really excited just to experience like a night with you and experience, like, especially on these nights, like, a lot of people are just wanting to encounter God. And you doing a song in the original key is like not worth it if you're going to suffer. And they're not really focused on that anyways. Maybe a few people in the room.
Right.
But I'm not trying to impress anybody. I want to do a great job, but I would really like to be able to do this and not kill myself, you know, in my voice. So there are definitely days that are tough, and I'm waking up and I just have to trust I'm going to give my voice several hours to wake back up, not do anything crazy. But I do get pretty raspy and lose my voice often because I can't help holding it back. Like, I can't hold it back. When I get excited and I feel the fire, it is so hard for me not to just want to unleash everything that I've got. And so that's probably the biggest challenge. The thing I'm learning is reserving some, you know, keeping some in the tank so that I can get through three or four shows in a row instead of blowing it out on night one, you know?
Yes, that is the key. And I know you said we're going to link up, and I'm more than happy to, but since we're on the topic, I want to just tell you one trick that I've learned when I get that way is to find a go-to freak out thing that I can always duplicate. So for me, it's whistle. Like, it's very impressive to audiences. It's very climatic, but it's also much easier for me than belting, actually.
Right.
So a lot of times I work with my artists who tour, who do Broadway. They have to do the same thing on repeat. But when they're feeling that thing that you're like, Hulk smash, like, I have to be in this moment, create a go-to that's vocally dynamic for the audience, but kind of a vocal cheat for you that it gets that thing that you have to get out, but not in a way that costs you a ton of vocal dollars. Does that make sense?
That's all makes total sense. And I'm actually thinking about that in context of my set on this tour. Yesterday, I took a little bit more of a different approach on a few notes in this one song. I usually growl, but in rehearsal, I was like, let me just hit that note in my head voice. And I did, and I was like, I don't feel like that took away anything. And if anything, maybe it's even kind of more, makes the song a little more unique. And I've noticed that people love falsetto as much as they love the growl, you know, or at least
for sure
that can save me and just, you know, choose my moments carefully where I get growly instead of doing it in
absolutely
every song, you know.
That's yes, great. Yes. Okay, so we talked the whole time about music. What do you like to do outside of music?
Not much. man, I've got three boys, 8, 6, and 1. And my wife is my best friend. And so we bought a country house just outside the city. I have a few acres where I didn't just buy it for my kids because I wanted them to have a place that they could run around in the woods and be on the water. It'd be really convenient for me to live in Nashville, but I cannot bring myself to leave Charleston. We're so obsessed with where we live.
Wow.
And also traveling, I needed a place where I could come home and mentally, emotionally detox like within a day.
Love that.
And I couldn't do that in the city, surrounded by people. And even Jesus got away often, right? And
yes, so, he did.
Like, resting and just being with my family and being surrounded by things like the woods and the ocean really just center me and help that what I call adrenaline flush, adrenaline fatigue. You come off of several shows or a tour. There's a real chemical imbalance going on because you've been on for days straight. And I learned that the hard way. Came home and had my first tour and had a major panic attack and didn't know what was going on. Yeah. And I did a whole mental health record because I was started writing songs about the way I felt. And then I was like, I should just put this project out. It might help somebody. And that's kind of how that started.
It's
And
amazing.
so, yeah, we love riding four wheelers and my wife loves animals. And so our property backs up to a 60-acre cattle farm. And so we play with animals, we feed animals, go to the beach. On date night, a lot of times we go downtown to a fun restaurant or find a hole in the wall and kind of place. And I just love being with people, hanging out with friends, having them over. We love hosting people. So I would say what I'm doing when I'm not writing or singing is probably just community and having people over to the house and just being with my sons.
That's so lovely. I love that. And wow, she is a busy and amazing woman. 8, 6, and 1.
Pray
Wow.
for
That's
her. Yeah.
I'm going to now. That's so wonderful. But I can it so exudes too. Like you are such a family guy, and that woman is truly the wind beneath your wings. I
Yes.
mean, and I know that in order to leave your boys, you rest in knowing that she's got it, and that is such a pillar of strength for you. And I know that there's such a gratitude there for
Oh
her,
my gosh.
and that shines through in your posts that you make of her, and it's a beautiful thing to see. Someone like you that's very successful and very busy, also so successful in their marriage as
Wow.
well. Because usually one thing goes by the wayside when something else supersedes. And
Yeah.
I really love that so much about you guys, actually.
Thank you. We are determined. If we're not healthy at home, I'm not going to be healthy on the road. My family is my first ministry, and it's not always going to be perfect, but we want to be actively working hard at making sure our relationship is strong and healthy and is centered on Jesus, and that my kids know that they're loved more than the people I'm singing in front of. Like I want to make sure that I'm not sacrificing my family on the altar of ministry, because that's my first ministry, and so I want to make sure that's well taken care of. And yeah, so
It's amazing.
we're changing things all the time. I got to say no to this event, or I need to do three shows instead of four so I can come home, have an extra day in between, things like that, to make sure we stay
Yeah,
healthy.
that's so good. I love that. Priorities are right where they should be. So, talking about planning, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And don't give me wherever the Lord wants me, because everybody has plans and dreams. So where, if like in a perfect world, pie in the sky, what's your heart for the next 5 years for you and your family?
Wow. Okay, in the next 5 years, family-wise, we want to build a house on our property that we will call, like we've been calling our home, the House of Miracles, which is a record
Oh,
I came out
love
with.
that. Yes.
When I wrote that song, it became more of
It's
a,
amazing.
became a, became even bigger, it became a family motto and mission. We feel like that's Brittany and I's ministry is we want to be a house of miracles. We want to be a place where we can host couples that who are burnt out and going through it and see them be restored and revived. And so in 5 years, I'd like to have that house built to where we can start doing retreats and at least five or six couples can come in and stay, and we do worship, prayer, counseling, have fun, great meals, amazing steak, all that. In 5 years, wow, it's crazy to think about like how old my boys will be. But
Yeah, when you have kids, it really puts it into perspective for you.
yeah, I would like to have had some kind of country project out there by then. I would like to do a country record. I
Oh my.
guess 5 years from now, I want, to have had two or three more of my own solo projects out by then. And I don't say this to like brag, but a lot of my heroes that I've had on my list who I wanted to write with. God has been so kind to bring them in my life at an early age. And so I just want to grow in writing and every song better than the last, and keep writing with my friends. And, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, but, you know, 5 years from now, I'm trying to think not just bigger, but just better,
Sure.
healthier, you know?
Right.
Because
Right.
we
Yeah.
just did basically a sold out arena tour. And unless you're Taylor Swift or Luke Holmes or something, you know, like, I don't know that we can sell out stadiums. So it's like, I just want to keep making amazing music. I want my house to be church. I want the
Yeah.
people around me to grow in health and happiness. And I'd like to be, this is the last thing I'll say. In 5 years from now, I would like for there to be at least three or four, if not five, other Brandons that I've helped raise up and give an opportunity to. And I don't want to wait till I'm 40, 50, 60 to be somebody that gives my life away. I want to bring people along with me, with what God's doing in my life, the lessons He's allowed me to learn. I want to pass down now. I want to bring people with me.
Wow.
And so I want to be able to say in 5 years from now, you know, these few people are where they're at, and I've had my fingerprints somewhat on that.
Wow. So do you mean by that like mentoring younger artists and sort of signing them underneath you?
Yeah, whether it's signing them underneath me or just I'm so involved in their life. I mean, I learned at a young age to never have close-handed leadership. And if so, I don't want to limit to like they'd have to be on my pub, you know, my publishing, my label, or under the Brandon Lake umbrella. I'm not so concerned with that, although that is something I'm dreaming about, is signing writers, and something we're working on. But yeah, there's people in my life that are, you know, connected to other streams, but I just feel a call to help. And so, you know, setting up song rights for them and using the relationships that God's given me to be like, hey, I really think you'd enjoy writing with this person, and helping them think, you know, eventually opening up for somebody on a tour or getting a job somewhere or writing a song with this person, all that kind of stuff.
That's amazing. I just love your heart for that because a lot of times people that get to a certain place, they've had to scrape and scratch to get where they are so hard that they're just very held tight to
Yeah.
it and not open-handed. And so it's very beautiful. And I love that actually. So are you down to do a lightning round question where you have only 5 seconds to answer? Say
Yeah,
yes.
let's do it.
Okay. All right, good. So these are this first round of questions, it's gonna be real quick. This is like artist questions, right? And the next are just like random get to know you questions, okay?
Okay.
All
Yeah, I
right.
love it. But they're all fast. I gotta do all of these fast.
Yeah, and we're gonna have a timer on screen, so we're keeping you accountable. Okay.
Okay.
You might get, I don't know. We'll see. All right, here we go.
Okay.
A genre you're afraid to sing in.
R&B.
Okay. Name the first venue you've ever performed in.
Venue?
Venue.
Not counting church, Miami. I can't remember what it's called, but a theater in Miami was my first tour night, and it
Okay.
was an unreal.
Was it?
Yeah, it was incredible.
Okay. All right. A person you'd most want to do a duet with, dead or alive?
Chris Stapleton.
Chris, he's throwing it
Easy.
out there. Yeah. What's the highest note you've ever hit?
B, high B, maybe C.
Okay.
Yeah. So help me.
High B, high B, maybe. Are you talking about like a B4 or a B5? In your chest voice, I'm assuming.
Like, in my chest voice, it'd be like, okay, so like in Graves in the Gardens, in the key of B, I hit A flat is my highest
Yeah.
note. So I think I've hit a few notes up from that. So, you know, A
Okay.
flat, A, B flat B.
The only one who can. That part right there.
That would be the most normal, like highest note that I would do normally. But I think in a crazy moment, I just scream something. I think I've reached about a B.
Okay.
Above that.
Okay. Singable A flat. Got it. Okay. Perfect. Yeah, we can work on that. Would you rather be in a recording studio or perform live?
Recording studio. Great question.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people would think like a lot of people, oh, of course they sing out. So no, not always. It's different. Okay.
Doing live for me is like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Okay. I did it. I'm so glad I did it. That was amazing.
Yes. Yes.
But that's how I feel every single time.
Wow. I get that. I so feel that because so much could go wrong. And it's not even just vocally, like sound wise, tripping. There's so many things, so many variables. Yeah. Okay. What's a song that you're embarrassed you like?
Oh my gosh. I'm not going to be able to find it, but I heard it as a young kid and I had like a spiritual experience to it, but it is the most like girly song ever.
That you had a spiritual experience to?
Yeah. Oh, this is it. This is it. This is it. Donna Lewis. I love you always forever.
I love you always
forever. Can you hear this?
Yes, I know the song.
I might have missed the chorus. Anyways.
And it has a long setup. It has a long setup.
Oh my gosh, that song is incredible. All right.
It gets you, huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
I still remember where I was the first time I heard that song. And I was like, what is this? But like, I didn't want to, it sounded so like girly that I didn't want to be like, this song's amazing. I love it.
Earphones or headphones?
Headphones.
Okay. What additional music skill would you most like to have on a pro level? Audio engineering, dancing, or playing another instrument?
Dancing.
Okay. Fully. Really?
Yeah. I love the dance. Not great, but I love the dance.
Okay. That's fun. All right. Okay. Lightning round. Favorite TV show?
The Office.
Oh, okay. Favorite season of the year?
Oh, I thought you were saying season of The Office. Season of the year would be fall.
Yes. Yes, to fall. Fall, y'all.
Also, my favorite season of The Office is season one.
Thanks for putting that in there. If you could have coffee with anyone, dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh.
Hurry.
God. I don't know. Riff Raff. Riff Raff. I'm so curious about this guy. He is so wild, and
oh my
I just
gosh.
Want to hang out with him. Either that or Post Malone.
I know his cousin. Actually, I might be able to get you a coffee meeting with his cousin.
Let's link it up.
Let's go. Okay. What's your favorite food?
It was tacos, but I think I had this conversation yesterday. I think I have to say cheeseburgers. It's changed. Cheeseburgers. I love a burger. More than anything.
Such a red-blooded American boy.
Cheeseburger, taco, hot dog. I'm disgusting. I know.
Wow. Okay. What's your favorite guilty pleasure? Maybe those things.
Eating.
Eating.
Yeah. Can that be a guilty pleasure?
Well, considering what your favorite foods are, definitely for you a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
All right. Is it better to ask for permission or beg for forgiveness?
Just beg for forgiveness.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Take some new ground. Let's go.
If you could be a Disney or Marvel character, who would it be?
Oh, Wolverine.
Like it. Okay. I can see it, actually. If someone broke, if I broke into your phone right now, what would be your most highly Googled topic?
Highly Googled topic.
No cheating and looking at
probably
your phone.
Probably guitars, like instruments, like
Okay.
Always want looking at trying to buy either that or truck stuff. I have a big Bronco and yeah.
Trucks and guitars. Okay, great. And the last one, if you were dropped into a city, besides your phone, what would you have to have? What's one thing?
A dope outfit. Does that count? Or my
Absolutely.
wife? Yeah.
That's a better answer.
Yeah. I would want my wife there.
Okay, great answer. Brittany, you got yourself a good man. Brandon, it was such a pleasure today. Thank you for your vulnerability, your authenticity, for how much you give of yourself, not just in your music, but in your life, in your character, to your family, to those who are hurting, who need encouragement out there. I love your heart. I love what God is doing through your music. I just bless you. I pray that your ladder is greater than your past and that all things for you fall into place in Jesus' name. And we will end it here, guys. But if you have not, you must, absolutely must check out Brandon Lake on all streaming platforms. Go to one of his concerts. It is worth the while. I can guarantee you he's just as good in person as he is on the record. Brandon, thank you so much for being here today. God bless you. And I hope this
Oh.
isn't the last time we chat.
Yes, thank you for having me. So honored. Such a beautiful person. This has been amazing. Thank you, guys.